Turn with me in your Bible this morning to Matthew chapter number 7. Again, we're dealing with the Sermon on the Mount and the final conclusion of this great sermon in which the Lord Jesus is describing the nature of the kingdom. And here we have from very sobering but revealing words in Matthew chapter number 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name hath cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. As we come to this conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about what real Christianity is all about, we find that he tells us that there are many, many, many religious people that aren't saved. There are many lost religious people. Being religious does not get you to heaven. Going to church does not make you a child of God. Doing religious things does not mean that you are on your way to heaven. In fact, the Bible tells us time after time after time, Jesus talking with religious people and telling these religious people that they were not saved. Now, if you turn to John chapter number 3, Jesus met a very religious man. His name was Nicodemus. In fact, he was not only so religious, he was not only the member of a most conservative religious Jewish group of that day, but he was a leader. He was a teacher. He was a teacher of religion. And Jesus said to this man by name of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, John chapter 3, verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Here was a religious man. He did religious things. He prayed. He fasted. He went to the synagogue. He worshipped at the temple, but he wasn't going to go into the kingdom of God. Why? Because he wasn't born again. He wasn't born again. And Jesus said to this man, very simple verse, verse 10, Jesus said unto him, art thou a master, a teacher of Israel, and know not these things? That's exactly true. He was a man who was a religious leader. He would be equivalent to a pastor or to a priest. And he didn't know the most important thing about spiritual things. He didn't know about being born again. I remember Bart Brewer stood behind this pulpit. Bart Brewer was a Catholic priest, was trained at Holy Hill. At about the age of 40, he started reading the Bible on his own. And he began to investigate. And Bart Brewer realized that although he had been a priest and although he was religious, that he was on his way to hell. And he came to realize that salvation wasn't by good works or by being a priest or by religious deeds, but by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And he's born again. He preached behind this pulpit, and you know what he said? Every priest you see, make sure that you give them a gospel tract, because they have no idea how to be saved. No one's ever taught them. They didn't learn it in the system. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, how is it you're master of Israel and you don't know the most basic thing about spiritual things? You must be born again. In John chapter 4, Jesus met a woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. She was an offshoot Jewish religion. And he was talking to this woman. And he said to her, verse 21 of chapter 4, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. She said, boy, we worship here at Mount Gerizim. And you Jews, you worship at Jerusalem. And Jesus said, verse number 22, you worship, you know not what. You think you're worshiping up there at Mount Gerizim. You think you're worshiping God. And Jesus says, you don't know who you're worshiping because you're not worshiping God. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus was talking about another religious person. Luke chapter 18, verse 10, Jesus said this, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now they're both doing something religious, aren't they? But the Pharisee, and he was a strict Pharisee, he was of the most conservative religion of the day. The Pharisee stood and prayed, and Jesus gives the insert there. He prayed with himself, because you know what? His prayers didn't go any further than the ceiling. You know why they didn't go any further than the ceiling? Because he wasn't saved. He was religious. And so he's praying. He thinks he's praying to God. Jesus said he's praying to himself. And he said, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. That's a tenth. Boy, that's pretty religious. Can you do better than that? And the Bible says in the publican were tax collectors for Romans. They were despised. They are considered traitors. Most of them were crooks, because when they collected taxes, they got for themselves anything more than what the government were required. And so most of them were crooks. They knew how to take advantage of certain people, and they did. And he knew he was a sinner, a bad one. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Notice what Jesus said. I tell you that this man, this publican, went home to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This religious man was going to God on the basis of his religion and upon his good life, and he was considering that was going to give him a home in heaven, that made him a child of God. The Bible is full of religious people who are lost. Religious people who do good works, who are lost, who will not make it to heaven. The Bible tells us in John chapter 8, Jesus was speaking again to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees had kind of a low blow. They accused Jesus of being born out of wedlock, out of fornication, and did not understand his virgin birth. And they said to him, verse 41, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." And Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil." Now notice he's saying this to religious people. "Ye are of your father the devil." Now religious people typically equate being religious with being saved. Religious people typically equate being religious with being saved. And Jesus makes it clear, no. No, no, no. Not, doesn't matter how religious you are. That will not get you to heaven. He says, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Boy, that's pretty much an opposite, isn't it? He was a murderer from the beginning. And he abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. You see, the religious leaders were going to kill Christ. You know, the religious leaders, they didn't want to hear what Jesus preached. They didn't want to hear the Bible. They were religious, but they didn't want to hear God's Word. A lot of people don't want to hear the truth today. They're religious. But they don't want the Bible. They don't want the truth. They just want religion. Verse 40, it's 44, it says, "When," he says, "there is no truth in him. When he speaketh," that's the devil, "a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And I tell you the truth, you believe, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" He said, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Now notice what he's saying. The kingdom of God is not entered by being religious. The kingdom of God is not entered by becoming a priest. You say, do people really think that? They sure do. I know I used to think that. I remember when being in catechism in eighth grade at the Presbyterian church. In catechism, the pastor pointed to two pictures of the Schuster brothers. And I knew the Schuster family is still in the church. And he pointed the picture of these two men and he says, my desire is that there would be more men from our church going into the ministry. And I'd like you boys to consider to go into the ministry. So I went home and I thought about that. And I remember what I was thinking. I was thinking, well, you know what? If I go into the ministry, then that's a pretty good chance I would go to heaven. And so I thought about it. I thought about it. And in fact, at the same time at school, our teacher had us write a paper on what we wanted to be in life. And so, boy, it kind of coincided. And I thought about it, be a minister, go to heaven. Good chance. And I remember saying, nope, I don't want to be a minister. Nope. That's how unsaved people think. They don't understand. They think religion is the same thing as being a Christian. Being on your way to heaven. No, it isn't. And notice, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to look at something. It says, verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, the word you need to circle in that passage of Scripture is the word of. Because he was talking to religious people, and he said something to them that they understood. Your problem is, you've never been born into the family of God. You are not of God. You do not have a spiritual birth from God. The kingdom of God is entered by a spiritual birth. Now notice it tells us the character of this birth. It says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Now what do you say? You say, what do you mean heareth God's words? I mean, you say, I got ears, I can hear. Well, no, think about this. You know, how does this work? You know, a parent is giving some instruction to the teacher. Well, in fact, this is kind of interesting. I got a note a couple weeks ago. And I think it was a Thanksgiving note from a student. And this student said, thank you, Pastor, for keeping on preaching, even though we aren't always listening. Could have been anybody, couldn't it? Right? I mean, we have windows. You can look out the window, right? I mean, and if you're in the back, I mean, you can watch everybody blow their nose, or you can be distracted by any husband and wives that are hugging each other, or someone that decides to go up to the bathroom. You can be paying attention to them and be distracted and not to hear the Bible. Right? But what's it talking about? It's talking about the spiritual ability. The spiritual ability to hear the Bible. To understand it. To want it. And of course, may I say this, that the word for hear in the Old Testament, I don't know many Hebrew words. I know a couple, but I know one of these I know. I remember. Shema is the word hear. And guess what? I know another Hebrew word. It's the word obey. And it's the word Shema. Why? Because from God's standpoint, to hear the Bible, someone who hears the Bible obeys it. If a person doesn't really hear it, they aren't going to obey it. But there has to be a spiritual birth for a person to want to hear the Bible and obey it. And you can be religious without having that spiritual birth. What does the Bible say about our nature? What does the Bible say about our religion? You see, men are religious, People are born religious, but they aren't born saved. What does the Bible say about our spiritual birth? Romans chapter 3. In verse number 10 and 11 and 12, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You know what? You could put on a big long robe and put a big hat on your head and a big cross on it. That doesn't change your heart. And the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Everyone is a sinner. Oh, not in comparison to somebody else. No, in comparison to God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Notice the next verse. There is none that understandeth. There is none that understand. No one is born understanding with the ability to understand the Bible. No one is born with the understanding of the truths of God's Word. Oh, people are born with a sense of religion, but they are not born with an understanding of the truths of God's Word. All you have to do is talk to somebody who is unsaved and ask them if they ever read the Bible. 99 out of 100 of them will say, yeah, I read it for about 2 seconds. And I didn't understand what I read, and that's the last time I read it. Notice the next verse. The next phrase, it says, there's none that understands, there is none that seeketh after God. You know, man left to himself, he doesn't seek after God. Man left to himself would do what he would just gladly do. Man left to himself will gladly go straight to hell. Man doesn't want to be bothered with the truth. They like religion, makes them feel good. But they don't want the truth of God's Word. Why? Because we're born sinners. We're born sinners. And religious people are born sinners too. And so Jesus tells us, you must be born again. Notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, man has three parts. Man has a physical part. Man has a soulish emotional part. And man has a spiritual part. And the Bible tells us that man, without salvation, is spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. You mean religious people can be spiritually dead? Yeah. Okay, they can be religious. They can be emotional. They can have all the tingly kind of feelings. But sin separates us from God. And so, it isn't religious people that get to heaven. His kingdom isn't made up of religious people in that sense of the word. Notice what Jesus said, Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father. He that doeth the will of my Father. What's it talking about? He's talking about being saved. He's talking about being saved. Let's look at the Bible and let's look at a couple verses here. And what does the Bible say about the new birth? Turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. That's in the Old Testament. Don't confuse it with Hezekiah. It's Ezekiel 36. Verse 26, it says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Notice this picture of the new birth of the people of Israel. In the millennium, when all the Jews who make it through the tribulation, all the saved Jews enter into the millennium. It tells us what will they be like. He says, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will take away the stony heart." You know what's the difference between a stony heart and a fleshly heart? Now the word fleshly here isn't used in the idea of lust. Well, a stony heart, take a nice rock like this, okay? And put that rock in your hand and squeeze it. See if it moves. Will it move? Will it show any impression of your hand in it? No. You know why? Because it represents a hard heart. It represents the heart of man that is unsaved. It's hard. It's hard to God. It's hard to the Spirit of God. It won't listen. It won't obey. It does. No matter how hard it gets squeezed, it's still going to do what it wants to do. But put in your hand a nice red tomato. Squeeze it just a little bit. Don't squeeze it too much. It'll squirt you right in the eye. That's you call the inside of a tomato the flesh of the tomato, don't you? God says, when a person is born again, he replaces that stony heart with the fleshly heart. A heart that responds to God. A heart that is pliable. A heart that is impressed. And notice what it says. It says, verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall do my judgments, keep my judgments and do them. I remember my mom, when we were growing up in Delafield, there was five or six ladies in the neighborhood. We're just a little neighborhood, you know, five or six houses. And everybody was about the same age, you know, and had kids. And so these four or five ladies would get together for a get-together, you know, once every couple months, every 3 months or 6 months, you know. And we lived right across the street from the Lutheran pastor's wife. And Mrs. Christensen, she was, you know, one of the ladies. And so they would get together. I remember one day, my mom coming back from this cookies and tea, you know, meeting. And she said, you know, the pastor's wife today said that it seems like everything in life is either sin or it's not good for you. Wow. That's how unsaved people talk, isn't it? Either it, everything in, oh, life is a real drag. Either it's don't or you shouldn't. Is that the picture you get in the Bible? Hebrews, it says, and I will put my law in their hearts. I will put my law in their hearts. I remember the day, I remember as a senior in high school, I went, didn't go to church very often. In fact, I think that year I went 3 times. But every time I'd go, the pastor would say at the door, he says, why don't you come out tonight to young people's group? Why don't you come out? And you know, I think more than once I said, well, I'll try. But, you know, I really wanted to go to please him, but I didn't want to go at all. You know, I didn't want to go at all. And I liked the pastor, and he was nice, and he was a good man. And I liked him, and when he said, won't you come? You know, I said, I'll try. Well, I was going to try for him, but that influence lasted about as far as from there to home. And then my influence took over, and I said, no, I don't want to go to that. I don't go to that. You see, it wasn't in my heart. It wasn't in my heart. I was saved October 31st, 1968. Never forget that Thanksgiving. We never went to church on Thanksgiving. Our church never had Thanksgiving services. I remember that Thanksgiving, though. I got up that morning and I said, boy, I am so thankful. I want to go to church. And I showed up at church that day. And the people were shocked to see me. Nobody had even invited me to church. Boy, that's a lot different than going because you had to versus going because you want to. And what does the Lord say? He says, there's a new birth. The kingdom of God is about a new birth. And that new birth is not a bunch of religion, not a bunch of jargon, and not a bunch of stuff. It says it's real. It's real. And what is it characterized by? Obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's word. And so, the difference between religion and true Christianity is a birth. A birth. And now he goes on talking about this birth. He goes to the next step. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man, wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You know, everybody's life is here being pictured. When life is all over, what will it be? When life is all over, what will it be? Will it be pictured by this house built upon the sand? You know, you could build a pretty nice house on the sand. I mean, it could cost a lot of money. I mean, you could have tile floors in there. You could have Saddam Hussein. You could have gold fixtures in there. You know, you could have marble sinks. You could have beautiful woodwork. You can have skylights. You can have everything. You can have a $1 million home. Build it on the sand, though. And when you build it on the sand, the wind will blow some of the sand away. In fact, maybe you saw that picture a couple years ago up there at Wisconsin Dells, when the dam broke. And the dam broke, and those houses built right on the edge of Lake Wisconsin. Boy, I bet you they didn't cost $20,000. They didn't cost like one of your sheds. I bet you there was multi-million, close to $500,000 homes there. And man, that rain came, and boom, they were gone. Instant. Why? They weren't built on a rock, were they? And everybody's life is tested by the storms of life. Of course, the biggest storm of life will be death. And at that storm, all the sham will be over, and it will either be heaven or hell. But what about life? Jesus said, a wise man will take what I say and will obey them. And no matter what comes in life, that house will stand. That's the true nature of the kingdom. Founded upon God's word, built on obeying God's word. It has to have a start. It has to have a new birth. Because without the new birth, no one is going to obey God's word. And no one's going to be able to understand God's word. And no one will have a heart to obey God's word. But I want us to think what the Lord is saying here. Where does the success in life come from? We're going to look at a number of passages of Scripture. We're going to see the same thing over and over. Proverbs 4. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said to me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get an understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. What is the Bible saying? The Bible saying is the success of life has to do with obeying God's word. Not just merely knowing about it, not hearing it, but the success of life has to do with hearing God's word. And you won't want to hear it unless you're saved. Hearing God's word and obeying God's word. Notice what it says in Proverbs 3. Verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Every parent can figure this one out. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Here's a parent trying to tell their child something and the child says, nah, I don't think so. Now they shouldn't dare say that, but they think it. No, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just from ancient history. And dad's pleading with the son, hey, I'm telling you, this is how you ought to live. This is what's right. No, I got a better idea. The problem is, that's man's nature. You know, people say, oh, I don't really have to obey the Bible. You know, there's parts of the Bible I like, and there's parts of the Bible I don't like. And you know, the ones I don't like, I can just do it. You know what? I'm just going to do it the way other people do it. You know, the problem with that is this. There is not one person here that's been on the other side of the grave with anybody. You have never seen how things turn out on the other side. Don't copy what people think. God's word never fails. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. The success of the Christian life is found in one thing. Obey God's word. Obey God's word. The success of life is found in obeying God's word. You know, the Bible has all the answers about everything in life. Everything. It's as simple as that. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1. Notice what it says here. Obedience. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why should you meditate in the Bible? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You know, meditation. Meditation is thinking about something over and over and over. You know, I know many of you have technical jobs and you have things that you have to figure out. And you know, I know what you do. You have all these things that you're supposed to accomplish and you don't know how to accomplish them unless you're really smart. But if you're like me, you got something to do and you know what? You don't know how to do it. And so you have to think about it. And you pray about it. And you meditate on it. It's amazing how that works. They say that most people, they say when you say you have to sleep on it, that's true. Because most people can make a decision about something the next day after they thought about it all night. Meditate. You know, that's what the Bible says that a Christian is supposed to do about the Bible. You're supposed to meditate on it. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Think about it. How is that going to happen? How am I going to do that? What am I supposed to do? How does this work? Meditate on it. Why? So you can obey it. That's the Christian life. You meditate on the Bible so you can figure out how to obey it. You know what? I don't think many Christians do that anymore. I'm afraid that maybe there might even be somebody here in this church. You come to church and you tolerate the preaching. You tolerate it. And you say, hey, we're not going to do what that fuddy-duddy guy says. Oh, in some areas, yeah, but in, you know, your pet areas of sin, no, you're not going to do it. No, you know what the Bible? It's the opposite of that. We go to the Bible and we meditate on it. And we think about it. And we meditate and we think about it. How? So we can figure out how to obey it. And then what does it say? It says, meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, young person, you know, this is really great. You don't have to have a miserable life at all. No way. You can have a successful life. You know what the key is? Obey God's word. Now, I'm just going to stop right here for a minute. How many people today in this world are spiritually successful? You know what? Churches are made up of people that come and go. I hate to say that, but what is it? It's about Christianity is made up at any one point of a vast majority of people that somewhere down the line won't be seen again. They will not be successful. Why? Because they're not building their house on the rock. They're building the house on the sand. You know, if there's any word I can give a young Christian, it's this: obey God. Obey the Bible. You don't have to understand what you're obeying. All you have to know, understand, is what it says to do. And if you obey what it says to do because you understand what it says to do, when you obey it, sooner or later, you'll understand it. God says, don't lean on your own understanding. Obey. Deuteronomy 30. Here's our memory verse for next week. Deuteronomy 30. Helps us remember the message that we heard on Sunday. Deuteronomy 30, I guess this is the memory verses. I can't remember which one it is. Which one is it? 19. We'll get there, okay? Verse 10, if thou shalt hearken, that means, what does hear mean? Hearken, obey. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep His what? Commandments and His statutes, which are written in this book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee. It says, going on, verse 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God as to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgment, thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord God, thy God, shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. What's he saying? When you choose to obey, you choose life. When you choose to obey, you choose blessing. When you choose to obey God's word, you choose to build your life upon the rock. Choose life. John 15. John 15. Verse number 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You know, we got all these so-called Christians today saying, obey, obey, obey. Christianity isn't about obeying. Christianity is about feeling. Really? What did Jesus say? What does the Bible say? What does God say? Obey. God's word is the truth. You obey God's word, your life will be successful. We must be born again in order to have a heart to obey God's word. And the Spirit of God comes within us and gives us the law of God within our heart. There are two kinds of people. People who build their life on the sand. And people who build their life on the rock. Life is full of storms. life is full of tests. Life is full of floods. The person who builds his life on Jesus Christ and His Word, that life will stand. That life will stand. Like I said before, a lot of false prophets in the world. The sad thing is, you'll never be with them on the other side of death. You'll never be with them in that sense to see where their philosophies and their thinkings go. But there is one thing for this life, and that's the truth of this book. Some people decide by faith they're going to obey this book. And as life goes on, it is obvious that their life has been built upon a rock. Sometimes it takes many years to see the results of unbiblical thinking and unbiblical living and unbiblical philosophy. But time always tells. But the Lord's plea, my plea today, young person, young Christian, old Christian, obey God. Obey God. That's right, obey. Obey what He says. That's right. Obey what He says. Don't be waiting for some revelation from heaven. Don't be waiting for some 2x4. God's not going to hit you over the head with a 2x4. God's given us His Word. Obey. What is it? Why don't we have a spirit of obedience today? We need to have the spirit of obedience. Christians can live their life for years and years and years just doing what they always do and never get shook up to obey God. We ought to be shook up. When we know that God says something and we haven't done it, we need to obey it. Do you want to be successful? Quit making excuses. Quit making excuses. You know, I have to work real hard to stay close to the Lord. I don't know how people can do it that come to church once in a while. You must be a lot more spiritual than me. You must be a lot closer to God than me. I can't dare take a day without reading my Bible, because I can't live without reading my Bible. I wonder how some Christians can get by and read their Bible once in a while. And I'm just amazed. Lack of obedience among the people of God. But I know one thing. Your life can be successful. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. I don't care how you were raised. I don't care how difficult things or all the things against you in life. I don't care who you are. Praise God, your life can be successful. And you can know that your life will be blessed. And there's one key ingredient. If you're saved, decide you're going to obey God in everything. Read the Bible to obey it. Live to obey. If you're not saved, it's going to be hard to obey the Bible. Religion won't get you to heaven. Jesus died for all your sins. You trust Him as a lost sinner to be your Savior. He'll save you. He'll give you a new heart. The book will be an open book. And the Spirit of God will be there to empower you to obey. And as you obey, the more you obey, the more you will see the blessings of God on your life. As we close the message today, do you need to obey God? Are you resisting the Lord? Young person, get a vision of your life. You can decide to obey God. That's a simple decision of the heart. Anybody can do that. That's where the blessing is. Obedience to God. That will be the path that grows brighter and shines brighter every day. If you're not saved, you need to come to the Lord. Maybe today there's a specific thing in your life that you've been refusing to obey God about. A specific thing you've been refusing to obey God about. That has become the barrier for your growth as a Christian. And you need to surrender to the Lord. Say, God, I'm going to obey you. I'm just going to obey you. May the Spirit of God speak in your heart right now. And if He hasn't, if you pray, I'm sure He could show you at least one thing. Remind you one thing that you need to obey. Lord, I pray that You'd bless Your Word, this great truth. And I pray that the clearness of the need to be born again will be clear to those who are lost, who've never been born again, that they might come to Christ, who fully paid for their sin on the cross, that they could be saved and be forgiven and be born into the family of God. For everyone who's been born into the family of God, Lord, I pray that we'll see the clear message of the Bible, that despite what everybody else is saying, we need to have a spirit of obedience. Obeying Christ, obeying His Word, hungering to obey. And I pray that, Lord, You'll give victory in that general spirit. I pray that You'll give young Christians a vision to obey God. I pray that You'll be with old Christians who have resisted obedience in some area of their life for a long time. That today will be a day of surrender. And decision to obey because You said so. And Lord, for any area of our lives You've been speaking to us about, Lord, I pray that we'll apply the principle of obedience of Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.